Our first scripture comes from the Old Testament, Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5 and 15 and 16. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock or refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. From 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. Who have been chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in abundance. Blessed by the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his great mercy he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace intended for you made careful search and inquiry. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Sometimes you think you know what you're going to say. You think you know what you're going to preach. It's been cogitating in your mind all week. And then you go to write your notes out, put it down on paper and edit so that you don't preach for 30, 40 minutes. I'm sure you appreciate that. And then you wake up and God says, no, that's not what you're going to preach this week. And I kind of had a moment like that yesterday, and I woke up and I'm thinking, no, I think I need to go to, after Easter, well, every week there are four lessons in the lectionary, and this is an alternate reading for today, and it's from Acts, the 7th chapter, beginning at verse, 48. And this is known collectively. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Of what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the Righteous One, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones that received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it. When they had heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he died, and Saul approved of their killing him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. I have to say the hardest part of reworking this sermon was trying to come up with jokes to go with the theme. It was bad. So it was real bad. I got one of these new talking refrigerators, and I asked it for dating advice. Now I'm just chilling. I warned you. I with an ice cube. I won. Why am I so relaxed? I've got chilltelligence. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. In the musical West Side Story, the Jets and the Sharks are rival gangs, and they've had a rumble and anticipating another. Their emotions are hot, but one of the gang members warns them that they need to stay cool in order to get through what lies ahead. And this is just a bit of the song.
Buzz it, easy does it. Turn off the juice, boy. Go, man, go. But not like a yo-yo schoolboy. Just play it cool, boy. Real cool.
It's a great song with a great ballet in it, too. But we all want to play it cool. We don't want to let our emotions get the better of us. I mean, in movies and literature, we look up to the cool ones. I mean, is there any cooler secret agent than James Bond? Maybe James West from the Wild Wild West in the 60s. He comes close, but still, not quite. Now, during my teen years, there was no one cooler on TV than Arthur Fonzarelli. And what was he called? The Fonz. And what was his signature line? Hey. Well, each generation gives birth to cool characters and some actual people, too. But sometimes famous people get themselves into a lot of trouble, usually because they have hot emotions instead of cool. And this seems especially present today. I mean, you can't turn to any news source without reading or seeing another scandal unfolding. I mean, what were they thinking? Why would they behave in such a manner? When we are in cold emotional states, cool, calm, and collected, we find it difficult to empathize with emotions based on hot emotional states. I mean, we can't ever imagine doing something so crazy. But we better watch out, because when our emotions get hot, we can go a little loco too. I mean, most health resolutions are made when people are in a cool emotional state. Avoiding junk food and shedding a few pounds seems reasonable and responsible. But then you know what happens. You get stressed. You get a little hungry. And suddenly a bag of potato chips is in your hand. You don't know how it got there, but there it is. And like the Lay's logo from so long ago, you can't eat just one. and the whole bag of chips becomes irresistible. You go temporarily insane and you eat the whole bag. Many diets have been blown by people in a hot emotional state. We are much better off when we stay cool, including staying cool in our faith in God. Cool faith does not dwell in houses made with human hands. So often we worship a God of our own making instead of the Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. But God is above all and in all, working through all that God has made. Stephen is right to say that the Most High does not dwell in houses made with human hands. God does not live in the moral, theological, social houses that we've built for ourselves. Instead, God's throne is God's, not ours. It's heaven, and God's footstool is the earth. A cool faith realizes that nothing in our infinite world can contain our infinite God. Not our nations, not our political parties, not our religions, not our churches, not our personal agendas. God is a perfect God, and we will always be flawed and imperfect compared to God's flawlessness and perfection. I mean, it's a really cool vision that Stephen gazes into heaven of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. This vision tells us that God and Jesus are in the coolness of heaven, not in the wrath of the hot Jerusalem crowd surrounding Stephen at the moment. Cool faith is also a sacrificial faith. Stephen is determined to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, so he doesn't fight back when the crowd attacks him. And as the rocks begin to fly, Stephen simply prays, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He wants to be in a complete and eternal relationship with the one who is his Savior. And sacrifice is a tough one for us because we're taught to fight for what we want. But to be a good parent, you have to sacrifice time at work to be with your children. To be a good spouse, you have to give up some of your own desires to satisfy the needs of your partner. To be a good Christian at school, you have to sacrifice some of your popularity to live the life that God desires for you. To be a good church member, you have to offer time and talent and treasure to advance the mission of the congregation. And none of this is easy. And some of it can be painful. But it is a part of what it means to be a follower of the one who gave his life on the cross. And the benefit of sacrifice is that it leads to significant and surprising outcomes. Acts tells us that the witnesses to Stephen's trial and stoning laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And Saul approved of their killing him. This is the very same Saul who would convert on the road to Damascus and who would become a follower of Christ and eventually spread the gospel as an apostle named Paul. The sacrifice of Stephen made a powerful impression on him, one that stayed with him throughout his ministry. And finally, cool faith is a forgiving faith. Stephen's very last words are, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Like Jesus himself, Stephen forgives his killers. knowing that they are acting out of a hot faith, overcome by rage and passion. And his final words echo the said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And this may be the biggest challenge of cool faith, but it's at the heart of being a follower of Christ. As Christians, we are forgiven people. So our job is to forgive. Forgive our friends, our family members, our boyfriends or girlfriends, our brothers and sisters. Our job is to forgive our bosses, our co-workers, our opponents, our enemies, even forgive ourselves. Because when we offer true forgiveness, we let go of the anger that we feel toward those who have hurt us so badly. And we also ask for God to show them mercy. For in so many cases, they did not know what they were doing. In a world being ripped apart by anger and violence, it is hard to believe that a hotter faith is going to bring us all closer together. A call for more passion is not going to lead people to peace. Instead, let's be cool. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.